Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Tuesday, the 15th of February, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330. And we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We're live weekday mornings from 9 to 10, and then the program re-airs from 7 to 8 p.m. here on KJLL. The lineup for today's show includes a newsmaker interview with Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup, also Valley Fever expert Dr. John Galgiani of the University of Arizona. We'll have the Buckmaster Show contributor on nutrition, Jack Chalam. He'll be along talking about the latest research on omega-3 fish oil, plus a conversation with the mayor of Oro Valley, Dr. Satish Hiremath. Buckmaster Show, primarily an interview-driven talk show, but of course, there's always room for listener comments and questions. 529-3508. We begin with Mayor Walkup. Mayor Walkup, for his monthly visit now to the Buckmaster Show.
It's great to be here. I look out over the landscape out there. It's another beautiful day in Tucson.
It's another day in paradise. Absolutely. Isn't it, Mayor? Yeah. The big news on the front page of the paper, Tucson's fire chief resigned. What happened with Chief Patrick Kelly, who is with us in Tucson for, I think, just about 2 years.
2 years. He's a good guy. He comes from the East Coast out to Tucson. I worked with him on a number of projects, and I think that it was an issue that grew out of some concerns that the city manager have. I think the manager and he had an understanding, and he opted to resign. So I think that the city, the force, by the way, the fire departments is still just a magnificent force of people, which is what I really care about. I care about how are we serving the people. A city manager must have, you know, chiefs that he gets along with. So anyway, that's the news of the day.
At noon today, Mayor, I will be hosting a roundtable discussion at the University of Arizona, and folks are more than invited to come on out. It's in the University of Arizona Ballroom, the North Ballroom at the Student Union, and I'll be moderating a discussion on civility in political discourse. And I'm looking at your lapel pin right now on your sports jacket, your suit jacket, and it says civility.
Yes. Well, I tell you what, I went back to the Conference of Mayors 2 weeks ago and gave a presentation to all of the mayors that had gathered for their conference in January. And my subject was Tucson, Arizona, the tragedy, and the need to return to civility in the country. And as a result of that, we adopted a civility accord that all the mayors signed. And they signed for, we hereby pledge that the following six, and I won't get into what all those six items were, but they said we are going to go back to treating people with kindness and respect, and we're not going to put up with abusive behavior, and we're going to use civil language in how we conduct ourselves as mayor. So this is spreading over the country.
We had the former mayor of Tucson, George Miller, with us on the Buckmaster Show yesterday, and he, as you know, he wrote an op-ed piece in the Arizona Daily Star calling for civility in the upcoming mayor's race here in the city of Tucson. Whether or not you will be part of that mayor's race, I guess, is yet to be determined.
That is correct. I think that it's, first of all, we're in February, and any kind of decisions, you really need to make a decision by March, April, if you're going to be in the ball game. So that's what I'm going to do.
I assume you would echo what former Mayor Miller is saying about civility in this upcoming race, whether or not you're in it or not.
Oh absolutely. Yeah. I think that the time has come. I think on a national basis, if you went out and did polling, I think everybody said it has gotten very onerous and abusive, how we treat each other, especially in politics. And there should be no room for that. So I would absolutely applaud how we treat each other with kindness. Generosity and compassion is what the president said we need to do for the people that are in our lives. And he also mentioned two other things. And he said, are we doing right by our children and our community? And do we have our priorities right? And That's what civility is all about.
University of Arizona is working on perhaps some major projects for the downtown area. This news broke in the Sunday Arizona Daily Star, and there's talk of the arena, perhaps, an arena project. That talk has resurfaced.
Well, I've got to say that the president of the university gave me a memo back in the fall of last year. And he wanted the council and the citizens of Tucson to know that the university, because of the light rail connection between the university and downtown, that he is taking a look at how he can better connect the university in the downtown area. So I suspect that there's a number of considerations that they're looking at. But what I hope is that that one of these days they'll have a press conference and kind of let everybody know what makes sense. I'm very interested to hear what makes sense for the downtown, for the university, because I've always thought that having something in the downtown area, student housing, some energy and life downtown would be a great thing.
It's about 12 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show. So I guess the next, the ball is in the court of the University of Arizona as proceeding, whether or not to proceed with some kind of an arena.
Well,
or some project.
Or some project. Yeah. Well, I'd like to know exactly what is their strategic plan for downtown and the students and education and the university campus down in Tucson, downtown Tucson. I'd like to know that.
Pima County Administrator Mayor Chuck Huckleberry, as you know, has said he is going to delay or try to delay and possibly jeopardize up to $240 million in voter-approved road construction inside the city. These are three major projects that are part of the Regional Transportation Authority plan, which voters countywide approved back in May of 2006. Now, we've got the expansion of Houghton Road between I-10 and Tancredi, construction of the South Keno Parkway overpass East 22nd Street, and the expansion of East Broadway. Are these projects now in trouble?
First of all, I'm not sure he really said what was reported. You know, Chuck's been in this business a long, long time. The county is one of nine members of the RTA board. We are into now the second five-year period, and the voters said, here's exactly what we'd like to have done in these periods. So we cannot tamper with that schedule. We can't arbitrarily decide what we're going to do or not do. And the Houghton Broadway, 22nd Street, are in the second period. The board said Houghton was in third period. We want to move that.
Second
five-year period. And so I think that we'll be talking about that coming up in March. We'll have a board meeting. But I know Chuck well enough that I don't think he'd say that we're going to hold up money that the voters voted to do.
So you think that these projects will go ahead?
I'm going to listen to Chuck and hear what he really said.
You've got the State of the City address. I think it's coming up this next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, yeah. At 12 o'clock.
Have you worked out your speech?
I have, as a matter of fact.
Let's talk about it. All right. A little preview.
All right. Well, no, it is what you
would
expect.
Give us the boiled-down Buckmaster Show version.
It really talks about Tucson, the great city. If there was one thing that I got out of the tragedy of the 8th of January, it's just how great is this city and its people.
The way these people in this city respond is amazing.
I feel obliged to take the city, the state of the city, and let everybody know how proud I am and how proud they should be about this great city of Tucson. So my speech is about the greatness of this city.
The Gem Show just concluded. What are you hearing now from the vendors?
Well, it goes back to the greatness of the city. I went around, saw all the shows, and I talked to the vendors. And
you went to the main show at the TCC.
I went there. I went out to Holodome. I went to TEP and talked to people. They said much better than last year, and some of them said upwards of 15% increase over what they saw last year. So they were very, very pleased. And they're pleased with downtown, pleased with the work that's going on in the downtown area, parking, a little concerned about shuttle, but they always are. But they were, and the cold weather, they were a little concerned about that. But everybody showed up on the weekends, and they had a great show.
The RTA and the city, Oh, bless you, Mayor. I know you're fighting off something.
Hot weather.
The RTA and the city are the joint partners in the light rail project. And now that the GEM show is behind us, I guess some real work is going to begin. Some real let's-get-into-the-ground work on this light rail.
I'd characterize it as go, go, go. And we are, I checked before I came down here, we are on schedule and below budget on the light rail. The schedule calls for the bridge across the Santa Cruz to start in March and April timeframe. It must be done by the end of 11, because track is going to start on the 4th Avenue area, work its way kind of through the downtown in the end of this year. I believe that we're going to see cars arriving mid-12, so the citizens can see how is this thing going to work. And we should see all of them here by the end of 12. So we are on schedule, and this is a great connection between the university and downtown. And I tell you, I'm seeing about $1 billion worth of private sector investment because of the work that we've done, frankly, at renovation of downtown and the arrival of the modern streetcar.
How disruptive will this be for traffic?
It's going to be disruptive, and we just have got to work with the merchants in the downtown area. People have got to be alert to the schedule. The track goes right down the middle of, not down the middle, it goes down one of the travel ways on Congress and Broadway. But we'll do everything that we can to get people smoothly through town. But be alert. That's why we're doing this as fast as we can.
It's about 17 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Only a couple more minutes with the mayor. How does the budget picture look, and will there be any layoffs needed?
I think we're done with layoffs. I hope we're done with furloughs as well. No, we're going to talk 3 hours today as the council meeting. I think we're getting close to saying, here's what it's going to take to get to the $55 million that we need for FY12, which starts in July. So I hope so. I'd like to be able to kind of put everybody to rest on where the cuts are going to come from and are they affected, and so we can get back to work.
You're going to meet for 3 hours?
Well, this is what you have to do sometimes. You everybody sit there and say, we're not leaving until we're done. It's be one of those kind of meetings where we talk about element by element and make decisions.
A quick question about Walmart at Elkhorn. Is there any resolution to that?
No, this is
ongoing.
It's ongoing. I'd like to see it get underway. I'd like to see demolition get underway. I'd like to have this resolved as well. And there is a development agreement that's in place. There's going to be some arguments about what they can do and what they can't do. That's going to take several months to untangle. But Elkhorn has really come alive, and I'd like to see something going in there. And frankly, I don't have a problem with the Walmart, but it's what do the people in the area really need and want.
Okay, Mayor Walkup, good to see you, and we'll see you in March, and good luck with that three-hour meeting today on the budget.
Thanks.
Take care of yourself.
All right.
This is the Buckmaster Show, about 20 minutes past the hour.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroMorePizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
And it is coming up on 25 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. According to a new study by the Valley Fever Center for Excellence at the University of Arizona, two-thirds of patients with Valley Fever had it misdiagnosed in Arizona, where two-thirds of all infections in the United States occur. Outside of the state, it's even worse. With us on the Buckmaster Show is Dr. John Gagliani, the director of the Valley Fever Center for Excellence at the University of Arizona. Dr. Galgiani, thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Tell me about, I guess it's not a big surprise that Valley Fever would be misdiagnosed outside the state of Arizona, but inside's kind of surprising, isn't it?
Well, there's historical reasons for that, but in fact, the illness that people with Valley Fever have is identical. It's indistinguishable from any other cause of pneumonia. So when you go to your doctor and the doctor thinks you have pneumonia and they start you on an antibiotic, that's a pretty good approach, generally speaking, around the world. But in this part of the world, the chances are one chance out of three that pneumonia is caused by a fungus, the fungus that causes coccidioidomycosis or Valley Fever.
What are the symptoms for Valley Fever? How do you know if it isn't just pneumonia? I mean, what are the differences?
Well, the symptoms are not different. The way that you distinguish those two things is by doing specific laboratory tests. They're good. They're not perfect. In fact, we're working on trying to improve the sensitivity of the tests for early Valley Fever. But if a doctor doesn't order the right tests, they aren't going to be able to determine whether your pneumonia is caused by Valley Fever or by something else.
As far as some kind of a cure for Valley Fever, where are we in that regard?
Well, we do have drugs at the moment. They help patients. They inhibit the fungus, but they don't get rid of the infection, so that some people actually need to take those treatments for life if in the serious cases. The University of Arizona is the sponsor of a new drug called Nicomycin Z, which has, at least in the preclinical laboratory studies, suggests it might be curative. And so we're in clinical trials with that drug now.
Valley fever is caused by a fungus, and I guess would not be helped by drugs that are directed at bacteria, correct? So that would be confusing if you were having, because those drugs, if you had pneumonia, would be aimed at bacteria.
That's right. That when you get written a prescription for an antibacterial drug, it's good if you have a bacterial infection, but a fungus doesn't respond to those drugs at all, so they're actually of no value and possibly lead to some side effects.
Tell me about, let's go back to this study that was conducted about misdiagnosing Valley fever. What can be done outside the state? I guess it's pretty hard to get the word out about it, or is that...
Well, it turns out that if people know more about this disease, they're more likely to get the right diagnosis. That's evidence from the Department of Health Services. They found that if people who knew about Valley fever and what it was like before they sought medical attention, they were more likely to get an early diagnosis of Valley fever than those that didn't know about it. And it's for that reason that the Department of Health Services is also part of the education program to try to make sure the public knows about that. If tourists or visitors go home to New Hampshire or other places and develop a pneumonia within the first month of leaving our part of the country, they have exactly the same risk that their pneumonia is due to this fungus, just like those of us that live here.
Valley fever cases, are they going up? I know there were about 50,000 new cases each year, more than half of those occurring up in the Phoenix area and Pinal County and down here in Pima County. Are the cases going up?
Well, the actual numbers 2 years ago were about 5,000 reported doctors making the diagnosis. That number has doubled to 10,000 a year in the last year and a half, primarily due to a difference in reporting. I don't know that we've doubled our actual number of cases. I think the 10,000 is probably more accurate as to what doctors are diagnosing, but that's probably a third of what actually is happening, that there are probably 30,000 people seeking medical attention, and two-thirds of those are not getting the accurate diagnosis and therefore are not being reported to the Department of Health Services.
If you live long enough in Arizona, do you build up an immunity to Valley fever?
If you get this infection, you are then resistant, we think, pretty much for the rest of your life. Whether you live here or live anywhere else, you won't get a second infection. But the actual risk of getting infection is probably 1 in 30 per year. So you don't necessarily become immune in the first year or two. It can sometimes take many years just on a statistical basis whether or not you do get infected.
And most people get through it without any treatment, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of good news around this disease. Many people have no symptoms at all. Those that do have symptoms often get better whether they're treated or not. It's, however, a small percentage, and a small percentage of 30,000 people is a very large number that cause really serious complications.
Dr. Galgiani, thank you very much from the Valley Fever Center at the University of Arizona Center for Excellence. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Bill.
Coming up on 30 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show, CNN News is next.
Got something on your mind?
The time has come for all of us to speak out.
Call in and let us know.
Now start talking.
Talk about how you feel.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. President Obama says the government has to live within its means and invest in the future just like every family in America. The president says that's what his budget plan will do.
Use an analogy that families are familiar with. We're not going to be running up the credit card anymore.
President is holding a White House news conference right now. A group that's been investigating the 2001 anthrax scare says it was not able to reach a definite conclusion about the source of the attacks. The prime suspect, Bruce Ivins, committed suicide in 2008. Home Depot is going to do a lot of hiring for the spring season. The company says it'll hire about 60,000 temporary workers during February and March. The New York Stock Exchange and Germany's Deutsche Börse agreed to a merger deal today. It's been in the works for several days. Right now on Wall Street, the Dow is down 33 points. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-747-0319. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-747-0319. That's 1-800-747-0319.
Total customer care. That's what makes Midas different. It's how we get to know you and your car, explain things in a way you'll understand, and give you service and repair options that respect your budget. From routine maintenance like oil changes, tires, and brakes, to advanced engine diagnostics and major system repair, come to Midas and see the difference total customer care can make. People and prices you can trust. That's the Midas touch.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Are you up for the challenge? It's the third annual Boot Camp Challenge, March 19th. Join Olympic athletes, local armed forces, and celebrities as we laugh, climb, crawl, walk, run, and work out boot camp style through a 5K run-walk obstacle course. To sign up as an individual or a team, go to beatcancerbootcamp.com or call 546-1601 for the Cancer Boot Camp Challenge, 7:30 Saturday morning, March 19th at Brandy Fenton Park. For strength, for health, for life, for fun.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Savino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
It is 35 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show on KJLL. We're live 9 to 10 in the morning, and of course we re-air 7 to 8 in the evening. Jack Chalom is known as the Nutrition Reporter. He is a personal nutrition coach, one of America's most trusted health writers. He's a member of the American Society for Nutrition and best-selling author of more than 20 books, and we're delighted that Jack Chalom is the Buckmaster Show contributor on nutrition. Jack is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Jack, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. It's good to be with you, Bill.
It's good to talk with you as well. The Nutrition Reporter, Jack Chalom, puts out a monthly newsletter. It's always chock full of great information. And the lead story in the February issue, new benefits of omega-3 fish oils increase muscle and reduce body fat. That sounds very promising.
It's very counterintuitive, isn't it? Most people think, well, you know, if you consume fat, you're just going to get fat. But it really comes down to different types of fat, and some are very healthy fats. And really the healthiest of all fats are the omega-3 fish oils, which you can eat in salmon. You can take capsules. And there were a couple of studies that found that people who took about 4 grams of fish oils, this was probably about the equivalent of 4 to 5 capsules a day, they actually increased the amount of protein in their muscle. And muscle is made of protein. This is of particular benefit, not just to people who are dealing with weight issues, but seniors who lose muscle. And this age-related muscle loss is called sarcopenia. And it's often difficult to counter that, and eating more protein can certainly help. Exercising can help. And it's really kind of a lot of little steps to either maintain your muscle as you get older or to slow down the loss. And it really becomes more critical once you hit about age 60.
You quote a Dr. Eric Noreen of Gettysburg College in Pennsylvania, the study that was done on the omega-3s. And one benefit that I found very interesting about fish oil is a decrease in the levels that cause stress, the stress hormone.
Yeah, that was an unexpected benefit. But there's a lot of other research showing that the omega-3 fats have a very positive effect on mood. And, they have an antidepressant effect, anti-anxiety effect. High doses are very helpful in bipolar disorder, which is very difficult to treat conventionally. And the cortisol reduction was really unexpected. And this could be a new mechanism for how the fish oils enhance mood.
And as far as how much fish oil to take, I think this study that we mentioned from Gettysburg College was talking about, 2,000 milligrams daily?
Yeah, and you can get this in probably 2 to 3 capsules of fish oils a day. So it's not like taking a huge amount, and most of these capsules are soft gels. So even though they're fairly big, they're kind of slippery, and they go down the throat real easily.
We're talking with Jack Chalom. He is the nutrition reporter and the nutrition contributor on the Buckmaster Show, and once a month he puts out a very popular international newsletter. Folks all over the world get this newsletter. And one thing that you talk about, Jack, is vitamin D, and there's been so much talk about, do you need vitamin D? If so, how much? And you have an article saying, well, you ask the question, do you get enough vitamin D?
Yeah, and a lot of this new controversy comes from a report released at the end of last year from the National Institute of Medicine that said, you know, you can increase your vitamin D a little bit from 400 IU to 600 IU to maintain your bone health. And that might be enough to maintain your bones. But the research is so overwhelming that vitamin D helps reduce your long-term risk of cancer, your risk of heart disease, depression, just so many other things at higher doses. And virtually every doctor I know is saying take at least 1,000 to 2,000 IU a day for these long-term benefits. And your bones will benefit too. So, you know, it was kind of an odd report in that a bunch of bone doctors who really didn't know a lot about vitamin D just made a very conservative recommendation. It was medically safe, but I personally think harmful to millions of people.
You know, magnesium has been talked about a lot lately, as well as reducing perhaps heart disease. And you have an article that abundant magnesium reduces the risk of the sudden cardiac death known as SCD.
Yeah, sudden cardiac death, it often hits people who are not expected to have heart disease. They literally just drop dead, and their heart goes out of control, and before anyone can do anything, they're already gone. Magnesium is involved in regulating the heart rhythm, and when people don't have enough, the heart rhythm just goes wild. One of the consequences is called tachycardia, you know, this just very rapid and erratic heartbeat. And this is what happens with sudden cardiac death. And this study was interesting in that people who consumed the most dietary magnesium were 37% less likely to suffer sudden cardiac death. Those with the highest blood levels, which could mean better absorption, could mean they were taking supplements, they were 77% less likely to experience sudden cardiac death. And you know, this study has an interesting pedigree in that it comes from Harvard University.
And how much of magnesium would you recommend, or did the study recommend?
The study didn't recommend anything specific, but I would probably say 200 to 400 milligrams a day. And if someone wants to go out and shop for magnesium supplements, I would suggest magnesium citrate, which is well-absorbed and relatively inexpensive.
Jack Chalom is on our Buckmaster Show live line, and he is our nutrition reporter, and he is the nutrition reporter. That is his trademark. Taking multivitamins, there's been some controversy about do you need a multivitamin? But you say in the newsletter that it appears to reduce the risk of heart attack.
Yeah, this was a Swedish study that looked at women ranging from middle age to seniors. And people who took a multivitamin were a little more than one quarter less likely to have a heart attack. I mean, this is a very clear benefit of simply taking a multivitamin, nothing terribly exotic, nothing terribly high potency. And part of the reason I often recommend multivitamins, it's dietary insurance, because very few of us eat a perfect diet day in, day out. And some people don't absorb things very well. So a good multivitamin just sort of covers the bases and provides a little extra dietary insurance.
And speaking of diets, some people don't even eat breakfast, but that could cause some problems.
Yeah, and there was another study. This one is from Australia. People who skip breakfast as both children and adults were fatter than people who did eat breakfast. And there's been a lot of other interesting research showing that when you start eating breakfast, if you've been a breakfast skipper, it dampens your appetite for the rest of the day. And, you know, by eating breakfast, I'm not talking about an energy bar or cereal. Something a little more higher quality, like one egg, maybe a bowl of oatmeal with some fresh fruit. The emphasis being on a quality breakfast. Again, it doesn't have to be complicated, doesn't have to be time-consuming.
Jack Chalom, the nutrition reporter, his February issue is out. Jack, where can folks get a copy of the nutrition reporter?
They can go to the website, nutritionreporter.com. I've got a free archive of all of last year's issues up on the website, so they can download these for free. Get a sense of what the newsletter is like, and then they can print out the order form and order it.
It's amazing how many studies you go through. How many do you go through a month to put this together?
Oh, probably hundreds, and I just try to pick the most interesting ones and the most significant ones.
Well, it's a great resource. The nutrition reporter, Jack Chalom, thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks for being part of the show. We'll see you in March, Jack. Thank you,
Bill.
All right. Coming up now on 15 minutes before the hour, this is the Buckmaster Show. The mayor of Marana is going to join us in studio in a few moments. Stay with us.
Now in the morning I sleep alone. Sweep the streets I used to own.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon and online at MedicineManGallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at MedicineManGallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroAmorePizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastropub.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
It's coming up on 11 minutes before the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on KJLL AM 1330 and on the web at buckmastershow.com. Well, for the first time since the year 2000, members of the town councils of Marana and Oro Valley sat down for a study session last week. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Dr. Satish Hiremath, the mayor of Oro Valley, a dentist. Mayor Hiremath was elected to a four-year term of mayor last year, and he's now in his seventh month of office. Mayor, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Good seeing you, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
How would you characterize your first 7 months?
You know, so far so good. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of people may not know that I moved to Oro Valley in 1990 when it was 4,300 people. Now it's about 44,000. So I kind of grew up with the city and I've always been very actively involved in it.
And why did you select Oro Valley when you moved out here?
You know, it was ironically enough, it was one of my old tennis coaches who at the time the Hilton was back then the Sheraton, and he was the head tennis professional there. And he was one of my old tennis coaches. I grew up playing tennis, played for the University of Michigan, played on the pro circuit for a couple of years. And came out here and just fell in love with the area. And ironically enough, he had a dentist who he was teaching in his group. And through a handshake deal, they said, if you pass the boards, come out, we'll guarantee you a job. And I passed the boards, and here I am.
I didn't realize that you were a one-time tennis pro.
Well, you certainly can't look at it by telling me now.
But you were on the circuit and everything, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So why did you get into politics?
You know, for a period of about a year and a half, there were an average of 1.5 patients a week losing their jobs, either themselves or their spouses, out of my patient base for my dental practice. And I just felt that local government should keep its citizens more insular than what happens at the state and the federal level. And for our employment numbers and our foreclosure rates to mirror state and federal numbers, it just didn't sit well with me, because local government has so much better control to guard against that. And I just felt that they weren't utilizing that.
The meeting that I mentioned during the intro with the councils of Marana and Oro Valley, lots of issues in common for your Northwest region neighbor there.
Yes, absolutely. You know, Marana and Oro Valley, quite frankly, are sister cities. We mirror each other not only in size, but also demographics. We're both on the Northwest side, and we have a lot of things in common that we don't have with the city of Tucson or the county, you know, which is basically the beautiful scenery. And it's going to be very important for us to start collaborating with each other in this economy to actually try to figure a way out of the doldrums of the economy.
What are you hearing from the news we seem to be getting out of Phoenix is that cities and towns and counties could be really in jeopardy with some of the money that they get from the state.
Yes, and you know, one of the biggest platforms that I ran on was that if we're going to be in control of our own destiny, then we need to take the proper strategic steps to be in control of our own destiny. At one point in time, with local revenues and state share revenues, that comprised 50% of the town of Oro Valley's revenue basket. At one point in time, 28% was state share revenues. Now that's being cut. I think it was 22% for this last fiscal year, and it's projected to be cut around 14%. So we have to start, you know, taking our control of our own destiny and setting strategic, concise, clear, defined plans in place that will allow for the success to happen.
Mayor Hiermath is the mayor of Oro Valley. He's on the Buckmaster Show with us. Now, Mayor, if the legislation before the Arizona lawmakers passes giving the town of Marana control of the Pima County wastewater treatment plant in Marana, how would that impact Oro Valley?
You know, it really doesn't. We have a very strong relationship with Pima County, so we don't really have any wastewater issues. Marana's in a little bit of a different situation. The way the water system works is for every for every gallon you pump out of the ground, you have to replace that into the ground. And so while Oro Valley has enough credits to pump back into the ground, you know, our aquifer, like everybody else, is declining at a steady rate, whereas Marana is sitting on an incredible amount of what we call wet water, but they don't have the credits to recharge in the ground. And that's why the wastewater situation to them is much more crucial than the town of Oro Valley. But Oro Valley is fine.
How about your budget situation?
Budgets are good. You know, we initially had a budget retreat on January 29th, I believe. And one of the goals that I personally wanted to establish is getting the council to understand between, is this a cyclical downturn or is it a structural imbalance? And until you can actually answer that question, I don't think you can go about it in a systematic, scientific way of solving what the problem is. Cyclical downturns are basically, you can kind of put a band-aid on things until the economy rebounds. If you acknowledge that it's a structural imbalance, then what it is, you can't tax your way out of it, you can't grow your way out of it, and you certainly can't cut your way out of it. And Oro Valley is in a very fortunate position because we were using the growth to kind of mask that hole, but the prior mayor and the prior councils of years past have such a cushion in there that, you know, we have a projected shortfall budgeted or projected at $1.2 million. We have $4.3 million in the overage of what's required. So if we want to take all the drama out of it, we just take the 1.2 and plug up the hole, but that doesn't solve the structural problem. And I was very impressed that we all agreed that is a structural imbalance. So now we can go about it in a more methodical way and take a look exactly of what's wrong and how do we fix it.
As far as transportation, of course, Oro Valley is one of the members of the Regional Transportation Authority.
Yes.
And a new dial-a-ride service is coming to Oro Valley. In fact, I believe that the Sun Shuttle was launched yesterday.
Yes, it was.
Tell us about that transportation issue.
It's an incredible service, and I don't think residents fully comprehended, because I really truly didn't comprehend it until I started asking questions yesterday of our transportation director. But you literally the night before can call up the Dial-A-Ride. They will come to your house on the curbside. They will drop you off to the destination of your choice and then have a follow-up pickup time later on and drop you back off to your house. See, most people view bus service as a traditional bus stop.
Yeah, you go to a bus stop. This is the first I've heard of this. They'll actually come and pick you up.
Yes, and it is phenomenal. I mean, I was really floored when I actually heard about this. So I think the more that our residents can understand truly what the value of that service is, you know, a one-way ticket is $2.50.
Wow.
You know.
So what? How do they find out more about it? Can they call City Hall, or what? Where do they get information?
Yes, they can. They're more welcome to call City Hall. We're going to do an active, aggressive campaign to market that, because it's unlike any I've ever heard of. You know, I grew up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and you know, my biggest concern was, okay, how am I going to get to a bus stop that's half a mile away?
I know one of your issues was trying to make the console more business friendly, expediting. The business, the red tape, cutting down some of the red tape.
Yes, absolutely so. You know, what a lot of people don't realize is, because we do pay a property tax, but it's a county property tax. So the town of Oro Valley doesn't receive a single cent from the actual property tax. And I think that's what kind of confuses people, because they say, hey, mayor, I pay my property tax. But yeah, but everything goes to the county. So in the absence of a property tax, you have to rely on economic development to fill the town's coffers. So we have expedited the development and review and permitting process. And we're committed to large-scale projects, actually completing them within a year's time frame, and smaller projects anywhere from 3 to 4 months.
You got some good news on economic development.
Yes, we did. You know, we actually landed the Roche-Ventana
that was huge
expansion. And there is another very large company looking at coming into Oro Valley, and we're in the infancy stages of that. But that could come to fruition in the next week or so. And that's another 130 jobs. With a 42,000 square foot building.
So it's kind of becoming like a regional biotech.
Yes, it is.
Center.
Yes, it is. And that's how Oro Valley actually is marketing that. University of Arizona, we were very fortunate that they decided to open their University of Arizona Bio 5 Science Technology Center, Oro Valley, in Oro Valley. And that just lends more credence to what Oro Valley is trying to accomplish.
And the Golder Ranch Fire District annexation. How's that coming?
You know, so far so good. It's a little slow. Like with anything else that we deal with in society, it all comes down to communication. And it's just a matter of effectively communicating to the residents why it would be a positive to be annexed into the fire district. They're already Oro Valley residents. They're already in the town of Oro Valley.
But they worry about the tax increase.
That's correct. Yeah. That is correct. But everybody else in Oro Valley is paying that. Currently, right now. So.
And the Naranja town site, I think that's another big issue that needs to be settled.
Yes, it is.
What's going to happen with that?
It is on the agenda for March 2nd. And one of the things that we as a council need to agree on is, did the bond fail or did the actual site plan fail? And we all agree that the bond failed. But we are going to take a look at it probably on a subsequent agenda, March 16th or so after that, to figure out what we want to do. But it will start to become revitalized.
Okay. Mayor Hiermath from Oro Valley, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show. And that is going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show here on KJLL AM 1330. We're here live Monday through Friday, 9 to 10. We re-air at 7 to 8 in the evening, and all of our programs, at least for the past couple of weeks, are archived at buckmastershow.com. Have a great day.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
This is a free exchange of ideas.
AM 1330, KJLL.
The American people deserve no less.
South Tucson.